Hello, welcome everyone to Play Podcast, a podcast developed for youth workers who want to thrive in the youth sector. The title of today's episode is Tips for an Impactful Project. Today, we're going to talk to you about practical tips on how to make a strong impact with your project. I am Sophia, and right now, I'm going to share ideas on how to make a project powerful and as successful as possible. But I won't be alone. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to host a guest that is going to share with us her experience and what it is, how it feels to participate in a project, especially in relation to the impact this project had on her. An important part and interesting part I want to share with you is that all the tips that we're going to share today came from a brainstorming session with different professionals and especially a psychologist from Romania and different youth workers from different countries and associations. So we know that most of you are mostly inexperienced or are new to the youth sector. So these are the first things that you need to consider where you set the objectives of your project in order to make sure that the results are meaningful and impactful at the same time. First, come up with a subject that will have an impact on the community and research what has already been done and what hasn't. Also, don't forget to define the target group and how their lives will change for the better due to the specific project that you're developing. How do we know that their lives really changed? What will they do differently? For example, think of indicators as questions that you ask yourself. Let's say that you wake up in the morning and that part of your world has already been impacted by your project. How exactly have those people's lives been changed by your work? What do you see that has changed? How have their relationships evolved? Is the quality of their lives better? For instance, in a more quantitative way, you can measure the result by noticing that 5 young people came to your association to ask questions about Erasmus Plus projects or mobility projects in general, if this is one of the objectives that you have set for your project. Another thing is that you should think about what you want to communicate to the beneficiaries. Is it just information or do you want them to do something or act on something? In the non-formal education field, the best would be to balance and combine the two in order to have a good impact, let's say. Choose partners according to the topic of your project. For example, if the topic is fast fashion, choose a country where it's a big issue. Host the project with partners of different realities regarding the topic, so you can have an opportunity for them to exchange and make interesting discussions about it. In this case, you could also organize a visit to some local place of interest to try to involve the local community through your project and actually interact with them. This is actually an idea that came from one of the youth workers we worked with for the production of this episode. And it's really interesting and important to see how much difference it made that the project was actually really well structured and very, very well thought of. So it really impacted the results and the way she still thinks about it. Moving on. Think about concrete competences that you want to develop through your project. During the preparation phase, don't forget to come up with a list of competences that you want participants to develop. It can be more on a personal level, like self-confidence, teamwork, public speaking, or it can be more practical ones, like concrete skills that you want them to acquire. For example, one of the training courses I participated in was on web radio. So we actually learned how to use the equipment, even though right now I'm not an expert, but I got the chance to try and experiment a bit with it. And here about the whole process of creating a broadcast and setting up the platform and everything. So this is an actual practical skill that I developed and I acquired through that specific training course. So another tip from us to you is to focus on creating new projects with the topic of your mobility. You can already come up with possible ideas for future projects that are related to the initial one. So you can already think about partnerships you want to build and have clear ideas to discuss with partners once you meet in person. If, for example, your initial idea is the environment, something around the environment, as a next step, you can think about something else that can be focused on sustainability or fast fashion. So we have a chain of projects, let's say, and it's easier to establish relationships and have discussions with partners on it in case they themselves want to participate and contribute, or if they know other organizations in their countries that they want to do in their place. Also, another thing that is very important to consider is that you can easily exploit the results of your project to the maximum. And this is what you should actually do. In practice, this means that you should think about the concrete materials you want to develop. These can either be used either in your organization or be shared with other stakeholders so that you make sure your organization gets known in the local community and facilitate your job as a youth worker at the same time. For example, these practical materials can be a toolkit, a video, a best practices guide, or some other articles that you can share on your website. This actually contributes to the sustainability of the project, an important factor that is actually being assessed in your project application, and at the same time, you can keep up with the impact after the project is finished. Now, let's imagine that your project is already approved and happening. How would you make sure that the results you aimed for are going to materialize? Or how would you safeguard the learning process? One way is to make sure that young people are actively involved throughout the whole project by empowering them to make a contribution and get as involved as possible. For example, if you feel that the structure or the flow of the activities you came up with and you have planned is not working well for a specific group, make sure to restructure things and also make sure to have a plan B in order to adapt to the participants' needs. Some of you might be more experienced than others, but an important tip for the ones that just start their journey in the youth sector right now is to observe the participants and their motivation levels, and definitely assess the latter. You can organize, for example, an idea box where the participants can leave notes and comments about their project anonymously. In this way, you can on the spot realize what works and what doesn't work very well for them, and you can adjust and make changes either on the same day or on the next day of the project. This is, in fact, one of the advantages of non-formal education, that it's supposed to be always flexible and adjustable to the needs of the participants. And now, assessment time. Let's focus on assessment. It should always be a continual one throughout the whole project. Think whether the key actions that you initially planned are actually pushing you and the participants towards the main goal. A way of assessment in non-formal education is dedicating time at the end of the day for reflection. It can either be done in groups or individually. An idea for individual reflection is keeping a journal of how you feel during the project, so you can see whether things improved for you or not. If you want, at the beginning of the project, in the first days, you can ask the participants to set some goals for themselves, whether it's more interpersonal skills that they want to develop or more practical skills related to the core of the project. Another tool for group reflection is to use tools that are more visual in order to assess their state of mind or their feelings in a non-verbal way and in a more creative way, let's say. For example, a tool that you can use is an image of a tree where there are different people designed on it. And based on how you feel, you can either color the person that is at the beginning of the tree or who's already climbing up the branches or is already at the top of the tree. And this represents the different feelings, a different state, emotional state they find themselves throughout the first day or the day that you went through during the project. Now, I would like to introduce you to our today's guest. Together, we will have a quick and insightful discussion around her experience on this kind of projects. Her name is Elena, and our main focus will be discussing the impact the projects had or didn't have on her, in her own opinion. Hello, Elena. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Sophia. Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you for having me here. It's such a pleasure. As Sophia told you, my name is Elena. I'm 24 years old, and I started my experience in the Erasmus Plus world when I was 21 years old. I started with a short-term volunteering in Italy, and after that, I kept doing youth exchanges and training courses, and I actually lost track of the numbers, so I don't know how to count anymore. But they really had a big impact on my life, because right now, I'm actually working in a youth association as a project manager.
Amazing. First of all, thanks for sharing that. I'd like to say that I didn't ask you the actual question, but you answered very well, and thank you for that. The question was, can you briefly introduce yourself? But as you already realized, she did perfectly fine. And we can already move to the second question. What do you think about the tips we already shared with our listeners? Do you find them useful or accurate?
Yes, totally. I think you really reach the main important parts of the good tips for having an impactful project. I would say that for me, the most important one is to keep participants involved throughout all the projects. It might be a cliche, but communication is really the key for the project. And of course, that a participant cannot be involved in all the process of organizing a project, but I think they should be informed beforehand of what they will do during the project. And who knows, they can suggest everything, because of course youth workers are not machines, they're not perfect, and sometimes some things can they don't think about some details that can actually make the project more impactful. So yeah, from all the things that you shared, and I'm really happy that you went through this extensive list, because I think it's going to be really helpful for youth workers. For me, the most important one is to make participants feel as they're really implicated and they can also be part of the project in that way.
Well, that's very interesting, and thank you for your answer. So you said communication is important not only throughout during the project, but also beforehand, right? Like inform them beforehand about the program, how it will go and everything. Just as a quick side note on that, because overall I'm quite stressed and I want to, not stressed exactly, but I want to plan everything as much as possible. Would you say that there is a risk in giving out too many information before to the participants, and then there's not a margin for the youth workers to change or adjust something, or you think it's not an issue?
I think it wouldn't be an issue. I actually like when youth workers create, for example, WhatsApp group some weeks before, and that participants start to communicate and they can share some things, for example, some projects. Not projects, but for example, some activities that they would like to do throughout the projects. If they want to, for example, bring a cup from home and then exchange it with other participants, or if they want to make some kind of secret friend and they can think about it beforehand. So I think that you won't spoil them too much, because your project will never be 100% as you planned it. And since it's non-formal education, it's always going to be bottom up. So the participants always should have a lot of saying in how the main outcome of the project will be.
This is very true and very valid, and we should repeat it to ourselves, I think, very often. Thank you for that. And we can already move on if you want. I'd like to ask you, what was the best project in terms of impact, the best project that you personally participated in, and why would you think so?
So I've done a lot of projects and I enjoyed them, all of them, because they all taught me something. But my ultimate favorite was the one I did in Turkey, in Fethiye, about sustainable fashion. Because first of all, there was this kind of preparation beforehand. So we made the WhatsApp group a lot of weeks before, and we could, you know, share some activities that we wanted to make. And after, you could see that the facilitators really research in depth about the topic, and they were really passionate about it. And they were explaining us how they made the project. So they first of all, they explained us why in Turkey, why did we wanted to collaborate also with Sweden, Portugal, Serbia, and the other countries. And to see that actually made me want to organize a youth exchange. And after a few months of participating in that youth exchange, I applied to work in a youth association, and I was actually selected. So I can say that that was my most impactful youth exchange.
So you would say, you would think that the impact that the project had on you had to do with how well prepared the facilitators, the trainers were beforehand, and the fact that they really took into account your own ideas for activities, right? Would you sum it up like this?
Yes, exactly. I think that all of us felt really involved in the project. It was like the project was also ours, and you could see that everyone was so happy and excited to do all the workshops. And yeah, I think that was one of the main reasons why it worked so well.
And was it really early in your Erasmus Plus path, or was it later on?
I think it was quite early. Considering that after that I did much more youth exchanges and training courses, but I keep that project in mind as the one that really opened my eyes to the Erasmus Plus world.
That's really nice to hear. And most of our listeners are mostly inexperienced youth workers. They probably know the distinction between a youth exchange and a training course. But could you just briefly sum up what is the first and what is the second?
So the youth exchange will focus more on the intercultural exchange between the participants. So the main goal is participants to get to know people from other countries and their cultures as well. For example, in that youth exchange in Turkey, I met for the first time, I think, people from North Macedonia and people from Serbia. When it comes to your training course, the focus is more to go more in depth about the topic. So of course, you still have the component of intercultural exchange, but you really want to take the most juice out of it and to go home with the most knowledge as possible about the topic that you will be exploring those days.
Thank you. Very nicely explained. I always struggle with distinguishing the two to people that they don't know about projects. So yeah, you explained that very well. And going back to the projects and your own experience, which one would you say had the least impact, let's say, on you, and why would you say so?
Well, as I said previously, I think all of them has some kind of impact in a way, but maybe the one that had the least impact was one that I did in Italy, because you could feel it was not so well organized, and you could feel that, for example, we would only know about what we were going to do the night before. And of course we were enjoying, because as I said, it was a youth exchange and we focused about making some bonds between us. And even though we learned things, it wasn't the big focus of the project. But I think that the fact that we weren't so involved, I felt like it didn't had such an impact after on my life.
Okay, yes, I understand. I guess our colleague here from Italy won't be as happy to hear that it happened in Italy, but it's fine. And can you repeat the topic? What was the topic about?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was about youth entrepreneurship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. I mean, the fact that you don't even clearly remember the topic says a lot, as if, in contrast to other experiences, I guess. But yeah, involvement comes back again as a main part of how to make an impactful project. So yeah, that's definitely something to think about and take with you. So another question for you is a more general one. What do you want to share with our youth workers who are actually listening to us right now?
So I think that an actually important tip is to really address the feedback of participants, because I already had some bad experience when participants felt like they weren't heard. Every day in reflection time, they would, you know, complain about something or suggest something, and at the end they felt like the facilitators were not taking that into account. So you could see that their engagement throughout the project would decrease, and they didn't feel so enthusiastic about the project. So one idea that I have in mind to maybe solve the situation is, for example, the first thing you do in the morning or maybe after the energizer is to go through the reflections and the tips, and you can ask the other participants if they agree with the suggestions, or if they think that the things are going well and they would like to keep the flow of activities as it is. You can also, for example, explain why some things cannot be changed, and they will feel more clarified about everything, and they will understand why things are the way they are.
Definitely. Thank you for this first part of tips, let's say. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Maybe don't forget about icebreakers, because I know that in some projects, the facilitators don't want to make too many of them because they don't want to maybe overload participants with it. But I think it's a really nice way to, as the name says, break the ice and create some bonding with the participants, between them, actually.
I think you're right. It's a definitely, especially to the people who are new to the Erasmus Plus projects and non-formal education, is a thing that seems odd at first, maybe, but then most of them really like them and they integrate them in other sessions or in their work lives, professional lives. I've seen this happen quite a lot. And anything else before we move on?
Well, maybe I could add to stay in touch and always try to research for new non-formal education methods. You know, do your homework a little bit and study a little bit how you can explore a topic without being so monotonous, without being maybe boring. There's a lot of ways to be creative and to explore the topic. So yeah, keep an eye on this, all the toolkits that you can find maybe online about non-formal education.
Yes, that's true. And this is the beauty of non-formal education and outputs that have come up after other projects, that you can find them, easily find them online and integrate them in your own projects and sessions, because this is very important not to turn non-formal education into formal education, so it loses its spark. And so, first of all, it's a pleasure to have you here, Elena. And I would like to ask you as a final question, do you have a funny story from a project that you participated in that you would like to share with us, just to have a light end to this episode?
Well, as you can imagine, I have a lot of funny stories. For example, I've lost some flights, you know, some trips have gone wrong. For the first part, then everything went well. But maybe the most memorable story is the fact that a girl that I met in a youth exchange in Turkey moved to Lisbon, where I currently live, for EVS, now called, well, European Solidarity Corps nowadays. And it's been 1 year and we're such good friends right now. So you can see that friendships that you make in Erasmus Plus projects can really endure and they can become real. And we've met other participants of that project, so we're always keeping in touch. And I think that's the coolest part of Erasmus projects.
Definitely. You develop your own network within the Erasmus Plus community. And it's great to keep that community alive and also enhance it and reinforce it with new people that would like to join the Erasmus Plus world. So this has been the final question to Elena and the end of our episode for today. What we covered today was a lot of tips, very many practical tips to you, so you can take with you and implement in your work. And hopefully they will help you get your projects approved and improved in the near future. Right now, I would like to ask you to share the podcast with your friends and subscribe to our podcast and activate the notifications for new upcoming episodes. And before saying goodbye, I'd like to thank everybody that participated in the creation of this episode, especially Elena. And thank you, everyone. Thank you to our listeners and the team. And let's hear the goodbyes from Elena as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. I hope that what I shared with you will be useful in a way. Thank you so much, Sophia. And I hope to be back one day. Who knows?
Goodbye. Stay safe and see you at the airports, youth workers.